Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co.
And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Thank you, thank you. Danny Zetterman, Christopher Black, Adam Amin, Kendall Gill tomorrow on the show. Tom Izzo, who's been exceptionally eloquent in his thoughts as he deals with his players and his university. And we will have him on the show tomorrow, plus more. We'll see what Danny cooks up. Carmen and Yurko in here for Crosstalk, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Go to the Club Hawthorne app. Go to Hawthorne Race Course when it's available to you. Bet on the horses and have a great old time and get picks from the great Jim Miller.
That's
on the
right.
Carmen Yurko Show and the Odds Couple.
That's right.
And Carmen Yurko are in the studio. Hello, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hello. How are you?
Doing how are you? Here?
Good, good. Excellent.
I'm hanging in.
Nice looking TPC shirt there, Johnny.
Thank you. Scottsdale. That's where you got to love it from.
The Stadium there. Club.
Oh, this is Sawgrass. Sorry, I got the wrong one. Sawgrass. And it is the stadium over there.
That's it.
Got this one in 2012 when I went down there with my brother.
That's right, I remember.
Good times. The Ryder Cup was being played up here at Medina.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. We did a show, and then I shot out of there.
Mm-hmm. The Teddy Greenstein story from that day?
From what? From the Ryder Cup? The Sunday, the collapse?
Thursday, Friday, no. Saturday, or Sunday?
This would be on Wednesday. We did Sports Talk
Wednesday.
Live.
Beforehand.
Yes, from the course at Medina.
Yes.
And Teddy was supposed to be on the show, and he was doing interviews, and he was late. And
it's not like Teddy to be late for something.
I can see Teddy from the set, and we're on in like a minute. And he comes running. He's sweating.
Sprinting.
It's hot. And he gets to a fence, and it's probably like a 6-foot fence.
Snow fence?
Yeah. So he's trying, with his recorder or whatever he's got with him.
His gear.
Trying to climb over said fence, and it's kind of sharp at the top.
Ooh.
And I'm watching this.
Careful.
And a little girl, maybe 10, not 3 feet to the right, opens up the fence. There's a gate and walks right through, and he almost falls over. She goes, sir, there's a gate right here. And
that's
I'm
pretty
like,
good.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever
seen.
There
you go. I once walking through the, because remember when you said at Medina, I think they used to funnel the media through an entrance that took you into the parking lot. And then that's where the players would pull their courtesy cars in, you know, mm-hmm. and when they'd get to the course. And I remember walking in, this wasn't at the Ryder Cup.
Over by the pro shop.
By the pro shop.
Yeah.
Where the regular parking lot is for the members, but then it's converted into where they all bring in. So like it's like Buick is the sponsor of the PGA Tour. They're all pulling in their Buicks.
And right.
I'll never forget walking by Davis Love. This was not the Ryder Cup. This was like the 06 PGA Championship. And like there's Davis Love just popping the trunk, getting his clubs out of his back, you know, out of the back of the trunk. You know, I'm like, Davis? He goes, how you doing?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Right, right by him, yeah. I mean, as close as me and Cap are, you know, I'm like, hey, that's Davis Love getting his clubs out of his trunk.
Yeah, we saw Tiger, and he's literally in a Buick SUV with his caddy, and they pop the back, and he's putting his shoes
load
on.
Up. Like, let's go. Time to go, fellas.
Like, look like me going to the course.
The best story from the Ryder Cup that weekend, well, not the best, but like the memorable one was on the weekend when Rory McIlroy, they said was out too late partying the night
getting
before.
Drunk, yeah.
Got hammered. Missed, you know, slept through the wake-up calls or whatever, and they were literally like getting a police state escort, you know, from wherever he was staying to the golf course. He was running onto the tee, right? Isn't that the story?
Is there?
And then he went out and he played great, I think.
Yeah.
Typical. You know,
didn't
you
hit balls.
Get hammered the night before. Doesn't warm up. Like tucking his shirt in as he's running to the tee. This is like something that happened to us on a
part.
Sunday morning. He's going out to play in the
Ryder
Cup.
And it was like the Illinois State Police moved everything in the world to get him to the tee time on time.
Yeah. And then he ended up screwing us. I know.
What are we doing here?
He didn't play for us.
What are you thinking?
He plays for Europe.
You couldn't put the human rain delay on? You couldn't accidentally have held him somewhere?
That's what I would have done.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Classic.
Talk about pulling on the other side of the rope.
It's class.
Come on.
So here's a great story. Tiger wins the PGA in what, like 2000?
2000, and then again in 06. He won them both,
so,
didn't
okay,
he?
So it was 06 then.
It might have been it was 99 or 2000 in Medina and then in 06.
Okay, so Tiger wins the tournament. So your payday is what? 1.5
for that? You know, probably
$2
million? Then a million. Well, no,
then,
probably back then,
maybe
a million,
a little bit less.
Maybe
yeah,
1.2 million. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So when you win, it's protocol. Obviously, your caddy gets a percentage.
Probably 10.
10% of victories, yeah. 7% of top 10s, 5% of what you caught. You missed the cut, you get an X amount of
okay.
dollars.
Okay. Yeah. But you would tip the clubhouse
sure,
attendants
course, yes.
and the guy at the
Everybody.
Driving. Correct.
Everybody's getting duped.
Yes.
So Tiger wins, leaves.
Doesn't tip
no
anybody.
No tip to the locker room.
Sons of...
My guy, Bob Verdi.
Oh, I love Bob. Who's
oh,
a,
I've heard this story.
Who is a member at Medina.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, they're at the next event, and Verds was a golf writer at the time, then, for I think Golf or Golf Digest.
Yeah.
He walks up on the range. There's Tiger hitting balls. Have you heard this, Jerry?
I've heard this. Story.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
He walks up. He goes, Tiger, how are you? Congratulations on the PGA. He said, thank you, Bob. He said, did you have a good time at the course? Well, of course. It was great. I'm a member there. My guys take care of you. Yep. Hey, everybody in the clubhouse, are they good to you? Yep, great. Great. Then here's the address. Here's the names of the guys. I'll assume it was an oversight.
Yeah.
I need a check sent there.
Did Tiger send the money?
They yeah, said within 2 days,
yeah.
FedEx. And the guy in the pro shop, I mean in the clubhouse, what I've told still has the letter that was included with it. It was an oversight. Sorry,
yeah,
I had to catch my plane.
Oversight, sure.
$1.224 million for yeah. that specific
okay.
tournament for him.
Yeah.
Sean McKeel finished second, 735.
And they said that the check was exceptionally generous.
Yeah, I'm
because
sure it was.
By forgetting, uh-huh. I better make this right.
It's like a Matt Kuchar situation yeah. we got going on here. You don't yeah. forget that kind of
right.
stuff. And Bob's got the skins on the wall to be able to walk
right.
up the Tiger and be like,
and,
hey, not for nothing, champ.
And,
but I mean,
Matt Kuchar didn't forget about anything.
Well, that's true. Matt Kuchar just decided.
Went out the business trying to yeah. pay somebody else a lot less than he normally would.
I guess Tiger can
like
conveniently
that.
Say he just forgot and it was an oversight.
Though, but. In Matt Kuchar's defense, and I like to play both sides of the coin, just to offer it up, he could have said, I reached an agreement with the individual that he was going to be my caddy for an X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
He's an adult. I'm an adult. We both agreed, and that's what it was, regardless of where I was going to finish.
That's a bad
he
deal.
He was going
to
get paid
made.
That much. Yeah.
Right?
Like, so it could have been a bad deal. Now, he won. You think you're a little overjoyed. You might go ahead and take care of your guy anyway.
Yeah.
And that's where the criticism
Kuchar
came down.
Kuchar was being a stickler for the
yeah.
rules. He's like,
quarters.
No, we agreed.
We
quarters.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Hold quarters there.
Quarters.
Then my good buddy Sammy Kavaris from Jacksonville wanted to bust my chops on that.
I remember.
He's a sports guy down there. Oh, he's actually a good. Nobody's saying he's not a good guy. But in this one instance, he decided to be a tad bit cheap.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. And life goes on. Yeah, Kuchar's life has not been affected. He's still playing good golf, right?
Yeah.
Sam Kavaris is still getting older than dust down there in Jacksonville.
And the caddy got his money.
Yeah. Everybody's
what
happy. 40K?
Oh, I don't know, whatever it was. It's usually
10%. 10% of victories.
That's normally what it is.
10-7-5, yeah. Carm. 7 for top 10, 5 for
there you go.
Made cut, whatever it is. And then if you miss the cut, it's an X amount.
Whatever
dollars.
It is that you yeah. worked for the couple of rounds, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
couple of loops.
Jural Ortiz.
Pro looper.
He said that he had paid him $5,000, a fraction of the $1.26 million.
I mean, Jesus.
And he ends up, let's see. Kuchar increased Gural Ortiz's payment to $50,000.
Well, that's well done. Now, you might not give him what you normally give your
sure.
caddy, but you give him $50,000. That's nice.
Who was the PGA Tour player that really came out and criticized Kuchar? Somebody ratted him out.
Yeah, somebody did.
Somebody said something like, hey, this guy is being a...
Somebody did out him.
Yeah.
I can't remember
well,
who
the,
it was.
The quote that Kuchar said, look, I regret my actions, but the statement telling Golf.com... For a guy who makes $200 a day, $5,000 in a week's a big week.
Yeah, but
that's nice. For a guy making 30 cents a day, me paying him a dollar is that much better.
Right. Yeah,
that doesn't, even though the minimum's 12,
stop.
That
it.
Doesn't float anywhere in
it
the
was,
world.
It was Tom Gillis who ran
Tom
him out.
Gillis
Tom
is.
Tom Gillis.
He's a solid player.
Tom Gillis.
Yeah. It's Dobie Gillis' brother.
Dobie Gillis.
Yeah. Dobie Gillis. That's his brother.
Pretty crazy, man.
What was the thing you had from the governor of Nebraska?
Oh, he... Okay.
Pete Ricketts.
Yeah, Pete Ricketts.
Would you like to hear that audio?
We heard it. I mean, we listened to it.
It reminded us of Tropic Thunder.
Now he has admitted to saying it, Pete?
Yes.
I mean, he apologized?
Yes.
What is he thinking, man?
Yep.
And I guess not what he's thinking. Like, what's he just ingrained in him? I mean, that's a ridiculous.
Well, the You People thing came out. We heard it in Tropic Thunder before.
Well, yeah. It's in Tropic Thunder's a parody movie. I mean,
and right, but it made a point... about making the point in a comical way to let you know it was a legitimate point. You know what I'm saying?
Right, correct.
Made a point about making the point to make you know, in a comical way, to let you know it's a very legitimate point.
He's been going on radio in Omaha. He did a...
Great city, by the way. Underrated if you've never been there.
It's a very good city.
So. Omaha? God, I've driven through it. I'm like...
Oh, no. I went south to
There's
Papillon.
There's some fun stuff there.
Papillon's a city south of it. Yeah. They've got a brewing company down there. Some of the finest beer I had. One of the best Irish reds I've had in the country.
Wow, all right.
Down there at that brewery.
He issued a statement. He did go on the leading African-American talk show that they invited him to come on as the governor, and he did it. But he said in a statement, "I chose my words poorly and apologized when it became apparent that I had caused offense."
Oh, my God. You think Tom Ricketts is always like calling his brothers and his dad, being like, "Can you guys just shut up? Can you please stop talking?"
Yeah,
they're very public figures, though. You know,
it's hard. Like, you guys are killing me here.
It's hard for Tom Ricketts to be responsible for anything his brother does. His brother does and thinks the way his brother thinks,
and his brother's not on the board anymore,
and says whatever he wants to say. It's like holding Jimmy Carter responsible for what Billy Carter used to say.
Right.
Remember Billy Bear and all the stupidity. You're not responsible for what members of your families, if they're adults, what they do. They're responsible for themselves.
The last time Joe caused the stink, you know, we sort of said the same thing. People did not like that stance, that the Tom gets his money from Joe, and without Joe, the Cubs are never purchased, and he gets a dividend. I don't know if he does or not. I mean, does he share in the wealth of the Cubs as the old man? I really don't know.
He's got so much money, it doesn't matter.
But people were saying by supporting the Cubs, you're still supporting that kind of that family and the thoughts. I mean, it's not Tom Ricketts saying it, but people then criticize us for saying it doesn't matter. It's the family. Hey, my brothers don't speak for me. I don't speak for them. They say something stupid. Go take it up with them. I mean, you know,
just because you're in the public eye doesn't matter.
But he's got to be thinking, like, what are you guys doing to
me? Can you imagine that he got the call about the emails? He goes, oh, God. Then he got the call, I'm taking a new job. I'm the head of fundraising for the president. Look, what are you doing?
Unbelievable.
Now he gets this call.
I mean, seriously.
Because I can only speak for my interactions with Tom.
He should disown himself from the family.
Right.
He needs to amend.
Tom Smith is the new owner of the Cubs. He changed his name.
It's like, what are you doing, man?
It's like crazy, man.
Get out of that family.
Yep. Because I can only tell you my interactions with him. He's a very, very nice man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tom's ever done. We can criticize him for a lot of things, but has he ever been like truly inappropriate? Not that I can recall.
No,
I've never spent real time with him.
I know that, York. I mean, I'm not saying we know him personally. I mean, Cap knows him more personally than we do. But
I think we all have the ability to be inappropriate.
Yeah, it's just
whether you are or not.
It's crazy. Craziness.
So, well, all right, I'm going to get out of your guys' way.
All right.
Danny and I have to go do an interview.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, wonderful.
Who are you interviewing?
Yeah. What is that on his podcast, is it?
Who are you interviewing?
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. All right, nice. We talked to Kurt a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
He's awesome.
So, yes, we talked to Kurt.
Is this an armchair nutritionist thing or just for the show?
I don't go on the armchair nutritionist.
Why? Why don't you go on the armchair nutritionist?
They have conflicting views on health.
Because why? How'd that happen?
I'm starting my own nutrition podcast.
Oh wow.
It's called We Can't Rewrite the Start, We Can Rewrite the Ending.
We can't.
Boy, that's a little long.
So if you're
that is a long title.
That's a long title.
Doesn't
long
really
title.
Say anything about nutrition. Not sure that's really going to populate. I mean.
Sounds like a religious channel. What are you trying to sell there, man?
Oh, God.
So
why we got dueling podcasts. For nutrition, all right.
This is the first we've heard of this. How long has this been?
Does Danny know about this?
I'm kidding.
I'm thinking about starting a football podcast. It's titled, we're going to do this on Sunday and every Sunday, and we're going to enjoy the Sunday when the Sundays are with us.
Uh-oh. You're getting a little close there, Danny.
Oh, wow.
We've been
everything
together
goes
this
out
whole
the
time.
Window. Look at this.
Johnny comes up to me earlier today and tries to kiss me. Like, Cap, I've seen for the last
you.
Two. I want
I
him to start
you.
A nutrition podcast. Yeah. It'll give mine more credibility because I know what I'm talking about.
God bless him. All right, I'm out of here. Right. Back at 9 a.m. Tom Izzo and more on the show
tomorrow.
Carmen, you're next. See ya.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
And away we go on this Tuesday. Carmen and Yurko. Feel kind of crazy out there. Be safe. Stay together. Stay healthy. I noticed on my way in today more of a National Guard presence. I don't know if you saw the same thing, Yurk. Maybe it's just the route I take in. And you don't have to cross the river at any point to get in from where you're coming. But it was not easy again from the west to get into the loop. They just don't want many people congregating down here right now. And the police presence, the National Guard presence was quite substantial on the west side. So much so, I gave up and I parked in the west loop and I walked. I found a circuitous route to get here once again. But
you hoofed it?
I hoofed it. Well, it's a beautiful day. I hoofed it.
You still had to find a bridge to cross, though.
I did. I crossed over on Chicago Avenue. Luckily, Chicago Avenue's bridge was down. It appeared that they had traffic going one way, but pedestrian traffic was able to go there. And there were some National Guardsmen actually posted up there. There were a couple of Humvees. I mean, it is a bizarre scene, to say the least, in our fair city, Yurko. But it's what we're dealing with right now. So,
well, to the mayor's credit, she said she's opening up tomorrow.
Yep.
And opening up for business. So we'll see what happens.
Thank goodness. We kind of need that, right? Got to find some way to get our juices going again, right? Like, get back to normal a little bit, for crying out loud.
Well, especially down here.
Yeah, that's what you're asking for.
Yeah. That's what you're talking about. You got a lot of people that have been, what's a kind way of putting it? That have been sequestered in their areas, their domiciles for an extended period of time.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they were let loose, or people were let loose on the city the other day with protests.
It's crazy.
Those protests and those protesters did what they were going to do, and then for one reason or another, some silliness ended up breaking out with different individuals, and some silliness ended up happening.
Lots of silliness out there. The Bears today decided to cancel all of their team
functions,
meetings in honor of Blackout Tuesday. Yep, this is from Matt Nagy. He turned Monday's meeting into an open dialogue about the events of the last week, seeing it as more important right now than football. And he went on the NFL Network today and he said, quote, "We'll put X's and O's on the back burner. I don't care about that right now. We're going to talk through it. If guys want to talk more or less, that's fine. But it's up to them. It's about the family." Bears chairman George McCaskey issued a statement on Monday night, too. A week ago, another unarmed African-American man died at the hands of a white police officer. "We are witnessing the anger and frustration play out in protests across the nation, including Chicago. We must do more than wring our hands and hope that it doesn't happen again." Everybody seems to be saying that. I don't know, you know, what real actions some of these organizations are going to take. And I don't mean to insinuate that they don't mean it, they're not genuine, or that they perhaps haven't taken real action in the past. But let's continue to see these organizations and these people that have the means to kind of put their money where their mouth is. Like Steve Biscotti did a nice thing in Baltimore. I mean, that's like flat out, I'll try to impact change.
Pass.
He donated $1 million.
Oh,
you know, I mean, where's that money going to go? Is it going to be used properly? Is it going to be spent productively? $1 million, even for a very rich man, is nothing to scoff at, if you ask me. So I appreciate the gesture. It's more than just words, at least, from Steve Biscotti and from other owners that have decided to take that approach. So I guess I'd say good for them. I hope it does lead to some sort of
There's more meaning if there's money behind it? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, than just words.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Oh, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to give it more meaning.
I think like
maybe couple of million would give it a little bit more meaning?
I don't know. I don't know how you decide from a denomination standpoint.
I'm certainly not going to quantify it, and I'm not going to say you could pay to clear your conscience if that's what you're willing to do.
You think that's what he's willing to do? You think that's what he's doing, though?
Is it a systematic problem? The whole argument has been it's a systematic problem. It's something that's been ingrained in society.
Correct.
So you're telling me if you throw money at it, then all of a sudden it's going to go away and it's going
to
dissipate.
Well, he specifically is giving it to, I'm going to look up what the charity
was.
I don't know that, Yurk. I'm not suggesting
that. I got you. My point is,
what was the
it may not. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Jonathan Taves put it best. We've talked about it for 50 years. It doesn't go away. It's not anywhere close to being to going away. I thought Taves had a pretty eloquent Instagram post yesterday. And we don't know him well, but I think most people that know him even just a little bit would probably tell you that the guy lives pretty genuinely, you know, that he's pretty committed to his body, his life, his work. He's become, you know, somewhat proactive in not only social issues, but environmental issues and things like that. I thought it was a pretty eloquent post. Words, what have words really done? Mm-hmm. Nothing's been, I don't want to say nothing because that's probably unfair, but what's really been accomplished? You're trying to take away a mindset that lasted for 300 years. To think you could do it in 50 is probably unrealistic, unfortunately.
I'd say what I've said from the beginning, stay vigilant. Wherever you're at, within your communities and within your regions, that's the one thing you can do, is be wary and be vigilant.
Yeah.
What does the money do? The money goes toward programs. How have the programs been?
That's what I wonder, right?
Have the programs been productive over the course of time?
Pledged $1 million for social justice reform in the Baltimore area, saying he's shaken by the acts of racism that continue to overwhelm our society. A committee of current former Ravens players will determine which programs will directly benefit from the contribution. Well, I hope they spend the money wisely.
Here's my other point. Racism has been around for how long?
Well, like I said, you're talking about something that was ingrained in a culture for 300 years, right? I mean, that's a fact.
Well, in the world.
Yeah, well, sure, in cultures.
In the world.
Absolutely.
In the world.
Absolutely.
Our people are better than your people.
Yes.
Right? Wherever it's been.
That goes back thousands of years.
In whatever country you're in, whether it was the Incas and things that were happening down in Mexico with other tribes.
Incas, South America.
Forever.
You're thinking of the Maya.
Mayans. Thank you, Carm. I appreciate that. You're on top of your game. So my point to you is it like going to California and try to stem the tide? That's what I'm asking you. So the only thing you can do is educate yourself, and you have to be wary. That's what you can do, and you can hold each other accountable.
Yeah,
that's the one thing you have to be able to do. You hold each other accountable. To me, how do you stop something that's?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're trying to mitigate something that may never be able to be mitigated,
or that's certainly going to take a lot more time.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's all I'm trying to tell you. You can sit here and work all day.
Yep.
And what's going to happen? You're never really going to mitigate it. You know, in the old days, racism was out in front and you could see it. They declared what they were, these organizations. They declared who they were and what they were. And you knew exactly where they were at. And you knew that, okay, these are the people that you got to be wary for. And this is what you got to watch out for. And this is what the problems are. You force this stuff to go underground and it sits there and it's late and it's late and it's late. And it becomes a bigger problem over the course of time.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say is that each individual has to be wary. And he has to watch. He has to be vigilant. And the only thing you can do is control the people you're with and the people that you're around. And you hope that you become cognizant of each other's needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to find a nice, gentle way of saying that.
Yeah. Why don't we look out
that's
for
all you can do.
For a change.
You've been throwing money at issues forever, and if you try to throw money at it through government programs, I promise you it will never work, ever.
Mm.
It's not going to work.
The Knicks have come under some heat because they didn't release a statement. I think they were the only NBA team that had not released a statement. They came under a little bit of heat. They tried to clarify why they didn't release a statement. Malika Andrews actually will join us in about an hour from now. She wrote a story about it. She covers the NBA for ESPN.com and used to cover the Bulls, and she's quite good and very plugged in the NBA. So we'll talk about some of those big picture NBA issues with her. The Ricketts family is finding itself in a little bit of hot water again. I mean, and Tom is constantly having to deal with things that his father and his siblings say. This does not come from Tom, but most people don't see a distinction. They just lump him in as part of the Ricketts family. And the tone on Twitter now has been, you know, Cub fans, this is where your money goes. If you support the Cubs, if you support Tom Ricketts. So Peter Ricketts, and we'll play the sound for you coming back in just a couple of minutes here, who is the governor of the state of Nebraska, had a very a ridiculous choice of words. I don't know how else to put it. I'm sorry. That's not just like a slip of the tongue. I mean, it's beyond belief. And he's admitted to it. This is not just someone making up a story. Yep. He has come out and apologized. So we will play for you Pastor Jared Parker's impassioned plea that he posted on social media about what Peter Ricketts said to him. We'll play that when we come back. And again, you've got the Ricketts family, or at least Peter at this point, apologizing. I don't know if Tom, has Tom Ricketts said anything, guys, yet? I'm sure he might be crafting a statement, and it'll be similar to other fires he's tried to put out within the family in recent years about how my family does not speak for me, I do not speak for them, and they are completely separated from the Chicago Cubs. The brother, I guess, is not on the board. Does he benefit financially in any way from the Cubs? Can't answer that question. I really don't know. Does Joe Ricketts benefit any way financially from the Chicago Cubs and the profits that they make? Did we ever find that out a couple years ago? There was a lot of finger pointing. He absolutely does. Yeah, I
got to do some French accounting, Carl.
I really don't know how much he benefits from it. It's easy to go ahead and just say it. Show me some documentation. I'd be more than happy to read it. But I don't know how much these family members are benefiting. We'll try to find out, I suppose. 312-332-3776 is the phone number if you want to jump in. But we will play Pastor Parker's Twitter post when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Remember, we're up on Twitch, twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can watch us there. What up, Twitch? Yurko's back in the studio, so that's nice. Waddle will be back down here in just a couple of weeks. There's the camera right there, Yurko. Turn that mic on.
Do we have somebody manning the globe for the constant variety of the universe? What they're saying, if they've got questions?
I've got it up. That sounds weird. Sorry. I've got Twitch up.
No, you've got Twitch up. It's fine. Even if you had it up, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you're comfortable with. Little, you know, some guys are excited when they work.
Be a little awkward right now.
You've got computers blocking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Nobody can see it on Twitch if you've got something going on, Carl.
You got the desk here, and there's a computer.
That brings a new thing to you being an excitable boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sure.
That's a Warren Zevon song, isn't it?
Sure it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
So here's Pastor Jared Parker, okay? This is his very impassioned plea to everybody on Twitter. He wanted this to go viral.
He wants to go viral.
It has, obviously. And Pete Ricketts has apologized. This is the brother of Tom Ricketts, who is the governor of Nebraska. But we'll let Pastor Jared Parker tell the story.
I sat in a room by myself for about a half hour with Mayor Gene Stothert, Pete Ricketts, and the police chief of Omaha, Nebraska, talking and sharing. Other pastors showed up in the meeting and a few African-American leaders. We met for an hour and a half on the killing of the young man at the hands, young black man at the hands of a white man the other night in downtown Omaha. We met on it. I put context to the issues surrounding the systematic racism that produced it. Pete Ricketts said, "The problem I have with you people." Did you hear what I just said? Governor Ricketts said, "The problem I have with you people." And ladies and gentlemen, I walked out of the police chief's office. I walked out on Governor Pete Ricketts as he said, he called us you people. Make this go viral. He called black pastors and black black leaders in Omaha you people. And I walked out on him.
And it went on a little bit, and he was, you know, asking for
people
to promote it.
He wanted everybody to know, everybody to find out about
it. And it kind of has. Pete Ricketts has since apologized, not only anything from Tom and the Cubs yet. I'm assuming it'll be, like I said, the same kind of statement they've had to craft in the past when members of their family have said some controversial things. So I'd be interested to know from Cub fans how they view this and what they think about it, if it affects the way they spend money on the team or cheer for the team, or do you separate Tom
from the rest of the family. Last time we had an incident like this, it was a bunch of emails that were discovered from Joe Ricketts. And it was our statements at the time, I remember, were not taken kindly. And that's fine that, you know, just because Joe says it doesn't mean that Tom believes the same thing. Some people don't believe that, that if you grow up in a house where the father is racist, that the son is racist. That's awfully damning, if you, in my opinion. To me, people,
it's a simple way of thinking.
Grown-ups can think for themselves, no matter where you came from.
Obviously, those influences are always going to be there, and you're going to see that. And you heard those as a youngster growing up, you know, the way he was thinking and what his thought processes were.
But that doesn't mean he hasn't become enlightened at some point in his life. Tom Ricketts is a highly educated man who's been somewhat successful. Yeah, it's nice every once in a while to be part of that lucky sperm club, right, Yerk? I mean, I get it.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice. Okay, but Tom has still, I mean, found a way to go out, and he set his mind to buying the Cubs, made it happen. Develop the stadium. I don't like all the things Tom Ricketts does. I don't like all the things he says about his business and the way he cries poor quite often, considering his franchise has quadrupled in value since he bought it.
But anytime Tom Ricketts wants to go in front of a camera and cry about not having it, you're talking to the wrong people.
Right, but I don't. Am I crazy? Am I just going to automatically assume Tom's racist because people in his family say very questionable things? Is he just more careful with his words and he does a better job of hiding it? I really don't know.
Every individual is capable of their own thinking.
That's what I think. We get attacked for suggesting things like that. Nope, he's exactly like his brothers and his dads.
Okay.
I don't know how you can say that.
That's fine. People can criticize. They can say what they want. And they can do this and they can do that. And that's great. Go ahead. It doesn't matter because you know who you are. I know who I am. You know that you give people credit for having the ability to think and to comprehend.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can be.
And just because you've been exposed to stuff doesn't make it you.
You can be your own thinker. Yes, you can be an enlightened person.
Yes.
You know, as a grown man.
Carmen and I have a tendency to give people a lot more credit for being able to think than maybe they give themselves. Or they give others.
So, Cub fans, does this affect again, or does it make you reconsider, you know, how and where you want to spend some of your money? There's been a lot said on Twitter since this came out earlier today about where that money ultimately goes, how much of that ultimately ends up in the pockets of Peter Ricketts, who is the governor of Nebraska. I would imagine he had to completely, in a public office, divest himself from the team, right, if he ever had anything to do with it. But these are sometimes things that are way above my pay grade. I don't follow them that closely. I'm not extremely litigious. I don't know the laws. But I wouldn't imagine, at least directly, that he is profiting from the Cubs. But who knows? With family wealth like that and in big business, that I cannot speak on. 312-332-3776. Marcus is in Minneapolis. Hello, Marcus. You staying safe up there?
Yeah. Everything happened kind of close to where I'm at, but I'm not coming to the residential area. It's more, you know, the commercial area with the rooms.
Yeah.
I'm just staying out the way. But, the reason I called today, the last segment you guys talked about, I think it was you, Carm, you brought up, you don't know how genuine when these big companies release statements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just words and becomes just like when everyone does it, it's just like, okay, it's just like everyone's, it's just like a trend. And the owner of the Ravens, he donated $1 million. Now, I know you said $1 million is $1 million to anyone, but...
Well, no, I said $1 million. I said $1 million is a lot. Yeah, even for someone with a considerable amount of wealth, $1 million is still a sizable sum of money.
I agree. But the thing is, it's still nothing to him to donate $1 million. It has to be more now. We can't continue to do the same thing. People have been donating money for years.
Well, that was Yurko's point. So how do we know it does any real good, though, Marcus?
Exactly my point. I think where the real power and the change comes from is these big companies, they have to be, if they really want change, they have to sacrifice something. That's how we'll know if they're really serious about change. They have to be willing to sacrifice a relationship or a business relationship with certain people. Like the NFL, they donated, I don't know, was it $100 million to the cause after the Kaepernick thing? They donated $100 million as a group, as a whole. But to me, the real change will say, we know these guys have relationships with politicians and things like that in their state. If they don't hold them accountable, then we won't know if they're serious because, like I said, it's easy for them to donate money. Now, the thing is, they're playing the same owners that's donating money and businesses that's donating money to causes are donating money to politicians that's on the other side. So they're playing both sides, you know, for, I don't know, to look good in the public, you know, but behind closed doors, they're probably donating not to be political, but they're probably donating to the Trump campaign. And is, you know, kind of igniting some of this stuff, in my opinion, you know, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You guys might disagree. But it's just, you know, it has to be more. You have to be willing to sacrifice a relationship and a business if they don't hold their friends accountable and ask for change from their friends that are in control of these policies and lawmakers.
Marcus, thank you, Marcus. Stay safe up in Minneapolis, too.
Do you remember the movie Clint Eastwood where he's crossing the river and the guy who's crossing him on the river goes, you got to be able to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic and whistle Dixie at the same time.
Yeah. That's anytime, kind of
ugly,
isn't it?
No, it's not.
Which one is that?
It's even older Western than that. Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
it's the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're right.
All major corporate executives have always played both sides of the fence when it comes to politics. Okay? That's the way it works. Somebody's going to donate one way, other people are going to donate other way, depending upon the policies that are going to be out there.
Yeah. Michael always took grief for saying something similar. Remember that came up again during The Last Dance, you know, the whole...
Yeah.
What did he say? Republicans buy shoes, too? Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Michael always came under criticism for that. Brian's in Downers on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just to do a level set, I'm 60 years old. I have three kids who are very successful, and... one of the things I always preached to them was when you meet a person, you make a decision at that moment. Are you going to be cool or are you going to be adversarial? Are you going to treat them with respect or disrespect? And I've always, you've got to treat every person you meet with respect. I have many black friends. I have many Hispanic friends. You have to just treat every person as a human.
Not everybody thinks that.
I know that. I understand that. And that's why I'm encouraging people to start take a look at the change will occur on a one by one interaction basis. It's not going to be one protest versus another protest. We all need to change how we react every day in every instance and treat people with respect.
Well said, Brian. I mean, we're all striving for this utopia that unfortunately doesn't seem like it's all there.
Well, I think it's a utopia that never be reached.
But that's what I worry about.
That's my theory.
I know.
Well, that, you
human history tells you that.
You shouldn't worry about something that's impossible to attain.
Human history sort of tells us
I wouldn't
us
sit
that.
Here and try to sit here and tell you that that's going to be right around the corner.
I know.
Okay,
that's the hard part.
You're trying to achieve the impossible. I told you, go to the West Coast and hold back the tide. Go to the East Coast and make sure the sun doesn't come up in the morning.
I like Brian. You can control what you can control, though.
That's
you
right. 100%
control.
True.
Control what you can control and how you act and how you treat people.
Thank you. Exactly.
That we should all strive to do extremely well in our lives. Oh, Harding's back on the line. We'll take some more calls coming up. We do have to break. A little trending maybe we can sneak in next, but more of your phone calls. Another day for the fans to voice their opinions and to talk and to listen. 312-332-3776. And I would like to read Jonathan Taves' Instagram post at some point. We will do that coming up after 1 o'clock.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko, our man Harding's back on the south side. Hey, in Orlando. What up, Harding?
What's up, Harding?
How you doing, guys? I just got a comment about the pastor's video there.
Yeah,
it's one of those situations, man. I'm not making an excuse for any racist behavior, right? But at the end of the day, if you're looking to solve one of society's most disgusting issues, you're going to have to go through mud, blood, and tears to get that done. It's not going to be rainbows and marshmallows.
That's right.
So to take the smallest offenses, to say, oh, you people made you walk out, come on, man, you're supposed to be one of the black leaders, right? You're going to take the brunt of it to get things solved if that's what your real intention is. So at the end of the day, you got to let those people, all right, if you're racist, you're racist. Now let's have a discussion and see how we can coexist. I'm not asking you to like me. I'm not asking you to love me. I'm asking you to respect me and give me some equality. So at the end of the day, you can't have those surface level issues be something that causes you to remove yourself from what may be some progress.
So you don't like that? You think it was too showy, maybe, almost in a way?
I think that there's sometimes, I'm not a big religious guy, guys. So, like, I think there's intention of good and intention of bad and intention of attention. So I don't know what his intention was, but if you're looking to solve something, that small of a comment should not have you remove yourself from a meeting that's looking to progress somewhere. If you're a pastor and you're older, you've gone through, civil rights movements, dogs, water hoses, beatings, and now two words, you people, is going to make you remove yourself from some potential progress, assuming there is progress. I'm a White Sox fan, guys. I don't care about the Cubs. But what I will say is, hey, black leaders, sit there, have a discussion, and if nothing comes of it, then report on it. Don't look for a reason to be offended, because you know you're dealing with somebody that's going to offend you. I don't understand the thought process, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Harding, well said. I like Harding. I like when he calls. I do. Well, it's well said. His perspective is interesting there, and you know I kind of see what he's saying.
Well, you got a seat at the table.
Yeah, like why are you letting?
You got a seat at the table. You're letting that comment.
As demeaning as it may be, why are you letting that comment?
Or is that the situation where you say, oh, can you hold on here just a half a second?
Yeah.
You people, by you people, do you mean us pastors that are sitting here?
Yeah, what
do
you,
What is your, what is your statement saying?
Let's get into that,
just
Mr.
so we
Ricketts.
Know, just, no, or let's just figure out what's going on, and then let's go about the business of getting where we're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if I mean,
here's my thing. Do we have faith in government programs to turn anything around? Haven't government programs been utilized over the course of time?
Are these government programs, though, that we need?
Well,
to, like,
county, city programs, state programs, federal programs. All these
that
programs
are trying to eliminate,
that have been put in place to empower the black community.
Right.
Have they worked? The question is, have they worked? I don't know.
I don't know either.
The question is, have they worked? If that's not working, what will work? That's the questions that need to be answered.
Mm.
And then what will it take?
And, we're going to talk to Malika Andrews, and a lot of people had been attacking the Knicks, and they released a statement basically saying, what makes us any more qualified than the next person to release a statement and all this? And some people actually defended them, saying, do we really need another just sort of vapid PR
Kristen
statement?
Kristen Cavallari put out a statement from
Did
her
she?
Company. Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
A statement about the Knicks or her own statement?
No, her own statement about the whole situation that's happening.
I didn't even see that.
If that didn't come out,
Did you see John Greenberg's response?
What did he say?
When is it time for companies to stop making? I think we've reached a point where it's time for companies to stop making statements.
Some people were saying, do we really need to see just another sort of shallow, formulaic almost just, standard PR release.
Template.
Yeah, like a template. That's
a
good way to put it, York. Just, contact the PR department. What have we written in the past? Yep, let's change a few words here and there and let's release it. We all want to change. We all want good to happen. Let's live happily ever after. Like, did the Knicks really need to do that? Or is it good, at the very least, to pretend? Like, what's the right PR move there? Because some people have defended the Knicks, saying, the Knicks are right. We don't need another organization or franchise just coming out and saying things without actually doing anything or without actually caring, just pretending like they care. That's the other side of that. We'll talk to Malika about it in 35 minutes or so. Let's go to who was I just looking at? Joe McKenna, I think. Hey, Joe.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Hey, Yurko, I think anybody who's ever been to the DMV or Stroger Hospital can tell you that no, government programs do not work. I think we need to be a little bit more proactive.
The DMV
I think there's a grotesque amount of inefficiency across
the
terrible.
Yeah. The point I wanted to make, though, I think everything we're searching for, all the answers start at home. I think it starts with good parenting. that's where it all starts. People, you instill morals and values. And yeah, I was brought up by a single mother on the south side of Chicago, and it was rough for her, but she made it a point to, you know, beat it into my head to have self-respect and respect for other people. So I think that's the root of it right there. That's where we need to start. I don't know. What do you guys think about
that?
Well,
I think that sounds good. It doesn't, unfortunately, I don't think that it happens all the time or everywhere, Joe. That's the problem. Like Yurko said, are we striving to get to a place that we'll never be able to get to, you know? Will we ever close in on it, actually? Maybe we will over time, but we're trying to change thinking that existed for centuries, and to think that we can do it in 50 or 60 years, and it's probably unlikely.
I don't know if it was Harding or if it was another caller earlier just said that you want to have and establish respect for other people.
Right. I think that was Brian, right? He said, why don't we just all respect everybody?
Well, no. If you can start there,
yeah,
then now you're on your way.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a long journey. And it's not going to happen, you know, overnight, but it's going to be a long journey. But if you start with just having respect for your fellow man.
Yeah.
Now, that respect ends up getting crushed and or earned or this or that over the course of time, depending upon individual interactions with those people. Those people, I mean the people that you get in touch with.
I know what
with.
You mean.
Well, guess what? I'm being very wary.
I know what you mean.
All people that you become in touch with.
Right, all the people that you come in. All the people that you
even a simple thing is like going and getting coffee today.
Yeah, we saw our Ivory.
I didn't have
today.
My mask on. It was in my back pocket. And our guy Ivory's going to me, Yerk, he's touching his mask, I'm like, what are you okay? I said, are you choking on something? Do you need me to come over and give you the hemlich?
It's easy to forget. We're still getting in the groove.
Right, two other guys in the store. He goes, Yerk, you got to have your mask on. You did too.
I'll be honest. When I walked in this morning, there was nobody in there, and I did not have it on. I had it in my bag, but I had walked here. I ducked in. I saw Ivory in there. I said, are you up? And he's like, absolutely, come on in. There was nobody in there, so he didn't say anything to me. Right. But I realized that I didn't. When you had said it, I said, oh, you know, I don't think I put my mask on.
And listen, if that's the rules are in play, the rules are in play.
Hey, I'll put it on. You're right. I go into a store. I go into Costco, right. Walgreens.
But
I put it on.
In Indiana, out by me, the only time I wore a mask is when I went to get my shaft changed on my driver.
Yeah.
I had to do the Purell. Had to put the mask on. I had to get the shaft changed. That's the way it works.
Yeah, because if they're saying, come into our establishment, put a mask on, put a mask
what
on.
What do I got to do? Okay, yeah, exactly. Boom. This is the way it's got to be done. I went into Menards. I wanted to get the mask, but it was a 25-minute line. I was going to pay 99 cents for a mask. I said, okay, I'm going to Lowe's. Walked into Lowe's, didn't have any issues, went and bought it. I wanted to shop at Menards.
Right, but you didn't want to wait in line.
Hey, the guy's returning 37 windows. What kind of mistake do you make when you buy 37 of the wrong windows?
That's your choice. You could go to the other store. Yeah, they need to just start putting the masks out. Drop a dollar in the box and grab a mask.
I digress, though. But at that point, that's like common courtesy and or respect for the individuals
Absolutely.
We've got around me.
Yes.
For me to be cognizant of just to put a mask on.
Thank you. Even if you don't agree with it. I mean, is it really that arduous of a task for you? Yurko's right. I mean, for what are you fighting against by not putting the mask on? Give me a break. This hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. A lot of unknowns in the world right now. One thing is certain, cash is king. Never been a better time in history for a cash-out refi. So visit thehomeloanexperts.com. We'll take more of your calls coming up after the top of the hour. We're back in 2 minutes.